Thank you for joining us today. Today is the 8th of May, 2014. This is Virtual Saguaro. Have you ever wanted to travel, get some adventure, maybe even do a little planning? How about some surfing? Stay with us on this particular podcast, and you're going to listen to a wonderful young lady tell us about her adventures across Europe and how you can do the same thing. This is Virtual Saguaro. We'll be right back.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Okay, Allison, wow, I sure appreciate your stopping by the studio. Just for a moment or two, tell the audience and listeners about surfing and couch surfing and travel. Where have you just come from?
Well, thanks. First of all, it's nice to be here. Recently, I just got back from Amsterdam. I was there for 2 days. And before that, I've been to Barcelona, Zurich, Milan, Frankfurt, Berlin,
oh my goodness,
Brussels, and Ghent.
What time frame? How did you do all this? How long did it take?
Those are all within the last month and a half, I believe. So most of them have just been for 1 or 2 days at a time.
Well, let me ask a question here. First of all, you must be a little tired from travel, even though it's exciting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of takes a lot out of you. I think whenever I get back from a trip, one of the most exciting things is to, first of all, shower and get all of the dirt of whatever place you've been to off. And then second is to just clean out your backpack, get rid of all the old, you know, bits of napkins that you've stolen from different restaurants, and wash your socks and underwear and kind of go back to normal.
Food crumbs?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I always turn my backpack upside down and empty it out.
You know, when you do all this travel, how do you keep track of the money part? I mean, these countries don't all use the same money, or do they?
Within Europe, most of them use the euro. Places like Oslo and Norway, which I was there too, actually, on a flight layover. And then in Zurich, they use a different currency too. Usually, if I have two different currencies, I'll put them in two different places. So I'll have a separate wallet for francs versus euros.
Yeah, really, really good tip. Do they look alike?
Some of them do. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I would expect that after doing all this travel, you've probably been on lots of different kinds of transportation. Can you elaborate some of the ones you've been on?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only things I really haven't been on is like a rickshaw. bicycle, walking is definitely the most common. I did a ride share where you sign up for this website and ride with people you've never met before.
Tell me what is a rideshare? Do that when we're a little slowly.
Well, there's these different websites, and people will offer a ride. Let's say you're going from Bonn to Frankfurt, and you have extra room in your car, so you post an ad saying, I'm going such and such date, such and such time. Does anybody want to go with?
And then you pay a little bit of money to help for their gasoline or something?
Yeah, and it's generally cheaper than a bus. But then you get to meet somebody new in a car and go at their pace.
How do you know if they're a good driver, a bad driver? Is there any references to check or anything like that?
Some of the websites have some references or feedback, but a lot of it is just kind of trust.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
What kind of mechanisms do you use to travel?
Recently, a lot of buses, the long-distance buses, and also trains, the street trams, bicycle, if I'm within the city, pretty much anything that moves. Even a plane, because within Europe, you can get some really cheap flights. So, for example, from Milan to Barcelona, I found a flight for like $40.
That's really good. Wow.
Yeah, it's definitely cheaper to fly direct than to go all the way around the coast to get there.
Okay, it may sound really inviting to our listeners to be this traveler and you get to see all these things, but don't you have to kind of roll with the problems that may occur?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's maybe the number one lesson in traveling is always be flexible, always be adaptable, and always have a backup plan.
Backup plan meaning day and night?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything I do, I have my set of directions to where I'm going, but I always have other alternatives, other places I can get Wi-Fi to find a new place, resources in case my number one plan fails.
Right, Wi-Fi, that's kind of like standard today, but still you have to find it and then make it work.
Yeah, I think if you have a phone that has 3G on it, you know, within Europe or within anywhere, then you automatically have it all the time in your pocket. But if you don't have that and you just are doing Wi-Fi, it gets a little bit challenging sometimes because a lot of places will password protect their Wi-Fi and it's just not always available to find.
Right. Tell me about the difference between carrying a phone and a computer. Have you done both?
I have done both, and it's much easier to carry a smartphone, even if it doesn't have 3G, if it is just a Wi-Fi device, than a computer, because it's so much easier to just take out of your pocket, scan on a corner for Wi-Fi, versus taking a whole laptop out.
Right, exactly. Also, the weight, right? You got to carry these things with you.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever you're traveling, weight is a huge deal because you might have 8 hours of walking around a town and all of your stuff is on your back for that whole time.
Yep. Okay, we talked about couch surfing. It sounds interesting. It sounds romantic, but I'm not quite sure that all of us understand what that means. How did you find a couch to sleep on? How did you get into people's houses without ever having them seen you?
Well, it's an interesting website. It's kind of based a lot on trust and a lot on references from other people. So once someone has surfed somewhere, they'll leave a reference for that person. So when I go into it, I immediately look first at this person, you know, see where they're located. Yes, I want to go there. Check their references, see what other people have said, sometimes they'll say what area of town they live in.
Okay, so this is at couchsurfing.org. And you've become a member for several years back, I guess.
Yes.
And so on this site, it brings together the people who want to travel and the people who have places for them to stay.
Yeah, it's really great because a lot of people, maybe they're not able to travel themselves, or maybe they want to meet somebody of a different culture, or they just have an extra room that they feel like, well, hey, I'm not using it. So they will invite or allow these strangers into their homes to share a meal, share a story, go out to dinner, share a couch, just kind of share their life for one day or two days.
So they determine the conditions that you have to agree to stay on. If it's just a pull-out couch or if it's a mattress on the floor, they probably will tell you that ahead of time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've slept on everything from a pull-out mattress that's hardly even, you know, a mattress on a floor that was too short for me to stretch out on, to couches, to having my own room with a double bed and a window and the whole house to myself. So it really ranges.
Right. Okay, from what I can see on the couchsurfing.org website, they not only put people together with travelers and places to stay, but they have a thing called meetups. What's a meetup? They say that they got 100,000 of them that have happened around the world.
Well, the meetups are organized by individuals, so it's not like an overarching couch surfing person putting them together. It's different people in each town who think, you know, I want to meet people, I want to sponsor this event, and they decide a place and a time and post a notice. And then anybody who's in that area can search for it and go to it. And I actually went to one in Milan. I was staying with a person who was hosting me through Couchsurfing, and we found one and ended up standing in this square surrounded by tons and tons of people, not even all from Couchsurfing, just people out, you know, for the evening. And I met people from Venezuela. I met people from China. I met people from Poland. You just kind of go up to somebody and say, hey, are you here for the meetup? And they say, oh, yeah, I am. What country are you from? What are you doing? Where are you going? And
sounds like a flash mob, but it's organized in a different way.
Yeah, it can be a whole lot of fun. And then, you know, if you were staying in a city for a longer amount of time, maybe you'd meet someone there who you really get along with, and the next day you'd travel together, or maybe you'd switch hosts and stay at their house for 2 days. So it kind of puts people in face-to-face communication with one another.
I guess that's really nice. And you mentioned about switching hosts or things. I guess there's no hard feelings. If you were going to stay 2 days and you left and you only stayed one, that's not a problem, right?
Well, I think, you know, so much of it depends on the dynamic between people. You know, if you left because there was tension or something, then that might have a kind of awkward situation, but a lot of times people will only want to host you for 1 or 2 days. And if you want to stay in a city for more time than that, you'll have to find 2 or 3 different hosts.
Right.
Like, for example, when I was in Berlin, I stayed for a week, and I had 3 different hosts there.
Okay, very good. And then 3 different hosts for the reasons to make sure you don't wear out your welcome?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if it's a stranger, you're kind of taking a risk that you're going to get along with them because you're in their space, you're sharing meals together, you spend time together, and you've never met them before. So if you don't get along, committing to a full week without knowing that is kind of a lot.
Yeah, exactly. You also mentioned one time to me off the radio here that sometimes people have to go to work in the morning, and basically you have to leave when they leave, right?
Yeah, everybody has their different comfort levels, and some people, you show up and they say, here's a spare key, I'll be gone all day tomorrow, let yourself in and out, eat my food, whatever, we'll hang out later, and they give you free rein of their house, and other people will say, you know, I go to work at 8 a.m., that means you leave when I leave, you're not here when I'm not here, I don't have a spare key, and they're much more rigid about it.
That's great. Okay, so when a person decides to allow you to come to their house, they probably have read your references as a couch surfer. Is that correct?
Yeah, they'll read your references and they'll read your profile too. So I'll talk about, you know, where I've lived, what I'm doing, what my philosophy on life is, things like that. And if there's a huge, you know, red flag in there, they probably wouldn't host me.
Oh, right. Okay. Age differences or philosophy differences perhaps could be part of it.
Yeah, philosophical, political, religious, whatever. Yeah. I mean, most people on the website, I think just by the nature of the website, are really open-minded and easygoing. But if there were a big difference, they probably wouldn't offer to host me.
Exactly. Tell us about some of the sites you saw or the cities recently. I know you mentioned several European cities. Milan, that's in Italy, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's funny, every time people travel, they always bring back all these postcards of sites and all these pictures of different things and, oh, the Eiffel Tower and, oh, the Berlin Wall and all this stuff. But I think for me, it really doesn't have so much to do with those things. It's more about my time there and my time with the people there. And so, I mean, one of my favorite travels recently was Milan, simply because their food is so good. And it's like everything I ate in Italy was just amazing. So I don't think I even remember the buildings I saw because I was so busy staring at pizza and ice cream and coffee.
Your favorites.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. And Barcelona, you'd been there before. What made you go back? What's special about Barcelona?
Barcelona is great, I think, because, you know, it's on a beach, and I've been in Germany a lot recently, which is kind of cold, kind of structured, kind of, you know, overcast and dreary a little bit in the winter, so I wanted an escape, and Barcelona is really nice, and they have so much cool architecture everywhere.
Oh, yes, exactly, and Amsterdam, what about that place? That's kind of north of Germany.
Yeah, Amsterdam was great, and I actually did something a little bit different on that trip. I decided to stay in a hostel instead of trying to find couch surfing, which was new for me because the past, all my other trips have been through couch surfing.
And what's a hostel? I mean, how does it differ from a hotel or a motel or something?
A hostel, I would say it's more like a dorm rather than having your own apartment. It's like living in a student dorm. So the one I stayed in one night, I was in a room with, you know, 7 different people because it's 8 beds, 1 bathroom, and most of them are younger travelers who are, you know, in Europe for one reason or another. And
are these the hostels where you have to bring your own sleeping bags?
They vary. Some of them do charge you for bedding. Some of them will charge you for a towel to rent if you want to take a shower. Other ones, it's all included. But they're definitely pretty bare bones, I would say. They're not for people who need, you know, free shampoo and a mirror.
Health
and
clubs.
Yeah, they're a little bit rougher on the edges, but they're much more affordable.
Okay, looks like you've been the traveler and you've lived in a lot of places. What are you going to do next? Are you going to go travel some more? Are you going to settle down? What's your thoughts?
Well, my travels are actually kind of coming to an end right now. I'm headed back to the U.S. and I plan to kind of for the first time make my own home, and which I'm actually really excited about because up until this point, I haven't really been able to give back to all the people who have hosted me. So, you know, there's only so many times you can say, thank you, oh, this is so great. But I've just never had my own apartment that I could host people in, so I've always been the surfer. But I plan to get my own place. And start inviting people into my home. So then they'll be alone in the U.S. and have no idea where to go or what to do, or even people from my own country who are just traveling through and need a place to stay. And hopefully I'll be able to provide some of the niceness that has, and the kindness and generosity that has been shown to me, I can give back a little bit.
You know, that's really, I guess, what it's all about. You've got the givers and the takers on both sides, and it looks like this organization provides for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Well, Allison, thank you so much for sharing your vast information on travel.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, there you have it. Thanks to Allison for dropping by and telling us all about the couch surfing around the world. Very interesting, very fine young lady with her courage and her interest and compassion for other people around the world. This concludes the podcast, and I hope that you've enjoyed it. There's many more podcasts by the Virtual Saguaro. VirtualSaguaro.com will give you the show notes for this particular podcast, and you'll see a lot of other information on that website. So again, thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a great day. We'll catch you again. This is the Virtual Saguaro. Have a great day. For those of you who were guessing, that was the Beach Boys. Let's go surfing.